The reading today is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. This can be found on the page 245 in the Old Testament section of your Pew Bibles. Page 245 in the Old Testament. Hannah's prayer. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies, because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry are fed with spoil. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello, everyone. I'm really excited to be here today. And a week ago, I would have had to come up on crutches, so we're doing pretty good. But I just wanted to talk to you, first off, about like what happened to my foot in the past couple weeks. So 2.5 weeks ago, it was a Wednesday night, and Anto and I, my lovely colleague, had gone to play soccer. And we do this every Wednesday, and I was out on the field, and something happened. I jumped up, and as you do, you fall over on your ankle, and I rolled it, and it got really badly sprained, and it immediately swelled up, like, huge. It was disgusting. But I went to the hospital, and they immediately told me, they're like, so where do you work? And I said, or are you studying or what? And I said, well, I work at a church, and we're going on a mission trip in 2 days, because we were going to Cambodia. And he was like, "I'm sorry, you're not gonna be traveling with a foot like that. It's only gonna get worse if you do that." It was just like the first thing that he basically said to me. And so from that point, I was pretty disappointed because I had spent all this time with Maria, who's over there, and Anto, and so many other people, and we had done all this work to raise money for this, you know, amazing mission trip and get everyone together, and we had talked to the youth group and talked in front of the congregation and, you know, gotten really pumped about it and met with people from, you know, Cambodia and done all this stuff, and I was really, really excited about what this was gonna be. And when I was in high school, I went to Cambodia, and it was one of the most transformative experiences of my entire life, and I thought, this is like a homecoming for me, you know? And I had kind of really gotten excited about it, and that was just completely gone, immediately. And not only that, that's a disappointment in and of itself, but basically, I had to stay at home and prop my foot up and lay back in a bed, because you have to put it above your heart, which you cannot do sitting, okay? Maybe there are flexible people out there who are able to do that, but I cannot. So I'm lying in my bed, and I've got my foot up, and I basically can't move. I had crutches, and it was really hard to get around my apartment. And so my mom, had to, you know, bring food and make sure that I was doing okay and all this kind of stuff. And in that moment, it was like this really intense slowing down, not only because I had been running in soccer before I hurt my foot, but also just my life at that point. I had been doing all these things and making all my appointments, and you know, I felt like really, you know, confident in everything I was doing, and I felt like I was doing very well, and I was moving quick, and it was just this incredible, you know, slowing down. I can't describe it any other way, and I was literally like in the bed, and I can't move. And so in that time, especially given that everyone now, 2 days later, went to Cambodia, and I'm sitting at home getting little pictures and, you know, seeing how they're having an amazing time, which I'm really glad they had an amazing time, and you should talk to any of them about it, because they did amazing work. But I felt this really big sense of just uselessness. And my mom was using the word the other day, but powerlessness, you know? I mean, the things that I had within my power, just gone, you know what I mean? The stuff that I thought that I had control over is just out of my hands now. And I can't do the things that I had originally promised and said that to myself that I was going to do, and that I find identity, you know, in this job and you know, doing these things and going and doing mission, and you know, that's kind of, you know, stripped away. So that's kind of what brings me to the story of Hannah. And I was reading through the Bible while I was laying in my bed because I had a lot of time on my hands, and I came across this passage from 1 Samuel. And it was really, really incredible to me because Hannah goes through this incredible time of depression. If we go back in the story before her prayer that we heard, it says that she was barren and she was unable to have children, and her rival would come to her. And this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. So Hannah's being just horrifically emotionally abused by this other woman because of the fact that she cannot have a child, and which is something just so completely out of her control, and to be ridiculed for that, for something that's already an immense sadness for her. And then for this other woman to come and just rub it in her face day after day, to the point that she's, you know, she can't eat and she weeps just constantly. I mean, that's, it's not a physical brokenness in the way that, you know, my foot got sprained, but that's an emotional, you know, powerlessness that I think a lot of people experience. And I think, you know, with that you know, sense of powerlessness, that's kind of where I guess I connect with her a little bit. Obviously, her situation is significantly more intense, but, you know, I kind of understand that feeling of powerlessness and uselessness in the time period and place that she is. And that kind of got me thinking about what time period and place that I'm in. And I realized that Hong Kong is an incredibly fast-paced place to live. I've lived in a bunch of different places in my life, not as many as some of you, but I've lived in the States, I've lived in Hong Kong before, and Korea, and stuff like that. But Hong Kong beats all of them in terms of just like speed, okay? Just like the fast-paced nature of everything. It's frenetic. That's what Anto used one time when we were talking about it. It's just this constant, like frantic moving. And we get to this, we don't even know it, right? Because we're so, you know, surrounded by it all the time, and everyone else is as well. But like, you know, the fact that I have an alarm on my phone that tells me how long I'll have to get up to go down to the bus stop to get the right 6X bus to bring me up to the church. And, you know, I have it all planned out and have alarms and every, you know, moment blocked off. And if I don't make any of those appointments or I'm late or something like that, that's counted against us, you know? And we're seen as less, you know, because we you know, aren't able to do that. And I guess when, like I said, when, you know, not only when you're unable to make appointments or you're late or something, but when you're slowed down to the point that you're like not able to come to work, okay, and forcibly slowed down like I was with my foot, like in Hong Kong especially, that brings a sense of uselessness, I think. And it doesn't have to be something physical, but I think, you know, whenever we're kind of weighed down by whatever, Hong Kong keeps moving, and we get this sense that we're just kind of getting, you know, left behind as everything goes on. And that was kind of what I was feeling now, you know, and in these last couple weeks. And the point kind of bringing up this weakness and this powerlessness that Hannah was feeling and then I myself was feeling is that Christ doesn't work the way that this world works. You know, he's incredibly countercultural in that way. And he's not using just the powerful and the strong people to do everything and just change everything from the top. Okay, if he wanted to, he could have become just the ruler of the earth and changed everything. He could have done that. But the example of Christ is to use the weak and the powerless, and the, you know, the useless in their own minds, and turn them into something even greater, like a tool of his, you know, majesty. And so there's this line in the Song of Hannah, where she says, "The bows of the warriors are broken." So, you know, at the time, a bow and arrow was considered like the symbol of strength of like kings. Okay, it's like a spear or a sword. It's a weapon. You know, so the bows of the mighty are broken. And I've just lost my page, but then she says, and my translation is slightly different from the ones that you guys have, but it says, "The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. And I saw that, and I was like, well, first off, I stumbled, like literally, and hurt my foot. But that's incredible. You know, Hannah feels like she's stumbled, and you know, that God has lifted her up. And how many else of us, and people all through the Bible who have stumbled and shown weakness, that God lifts up and uses them to his designs, as opposed to the people who have it all together. And I connected this also with a passage from the Gospels, from the New Testament, called Mary's Song, or the Magnificat, which is a famous verse. But in one of the verses from Mary's Song, when she's praising God for, you know, this gift of a child, of, you know, the Son of God, she says, he has brought the rulers down from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. And I was like, that's incredible. I mean, that you have to think about it. It's like over 1,000 years later in history, you know, and someone is echoing the exact same sentiment, right? And now 2,000 years after that, I'm echoing this, you know, same sentiment, and it's resonating with me. And I was also thinking, Pastor Greg, you gave a sermon 2 or 3 weeks ago before Easter, and you talked about how, you know, Peter was this amazingly confident disciple. Out of all of them, he was like the most boisterous. He was like, I've got this. I've got everything under control. Like, and he specifically says to Christ, when Christ tells them all, you know, you're all going to abandon me, he's like, if everyone else abandons you, I'm going with you, okay? Like, all these losers, all right, they might abandon you, but I'm coming with you. But when Jesus is in front of the trial in the courtyard outside, Peter betrays him with his voice. You know, he denies him 3 times. And it says in that line that Peter broke down and wept. So at that point, Peter was a completely broken person, because he realized what he had done when he realized that he had denied Jesus. But the story doesn't end there. It goes, you know, after the resurrection, you know, Jesus comes to Peter and he says, you know, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? 3 times. And Peter says, yes. And then he, you know, charges him with the creation of his church. You know, Peter is this rock that the church is built upon. So the rock of the church is someone who is just broken and wept, you know, completely just abased themselves because they realized how bad they had done. And the other story I wanted to use is about someone who's here right now, which is Kathy Lung, which in Kathy's early life, she was very, very, very badly injured by being hit by a bus, correct? And in this time, she was very injured in a lot of her body. And when she was in the hospital, a woman came to her that she didn't know, you didn't know, right? And said to her, you know, your luck has been broken and your life is just going to be useless, you know, that you will do nothing, all right? Which is insane, okay, first off, for someone to come that you don't even know and say that. But incredibly hurtful and demeaning. And it's like this rival of Hannah who's saying to her, you know, deriding her for something that she can't control and saying, you're useless every day, you know. But that wasn't the end for Kathy. Kathy has done this amazing ministry in Hong Kong and elsewhere, and has brought so many people to the Lord, and she loves every single one of us in this room right now and all the people outside of this room. She came and testified before the youth, and they all were like buzzing about it afterwards, and she's really ministered to me in my time here, both before I became the youth director, or the assistant youth director, and after. And I just, I think that's an amazing story of, you know, God using someone, you know, who might have been physically had broken bones, but using them for so much more than this woman was giving her credit for, you know, and turning that broken thing into something of Christ's majesty. And I guess the final example that I'll use of this is Christ's own humiliation on the cross, because the cross is a symbol of our salvation and the resurrection, right? But it is also the symbol of humiliation. In the ancient Roman world, I'm a history major, so I really like talking about history, and I won't bore you. But in the ancient Roman world, the cross was the form of execution reserved for the most, like, debased people, okay? Like, if you had a slave, and they did some horrible crime, someone that was, like, owned, you know, was a piece of property, you killed them on the cross, okay? It was, like, just the absolute most intense form of humiliation for the person. And that's what they did to Christ, okay? And they stabbed him, and they tortured him, and they spit on him, and they said horrible things to him until he was, you know, until he died. And he was, you know, this dead body. And God took that into the greatest victory of like our entire world ever, that's ever going to happen, that ever has happened. And he conquered death, which is the one thing that, you know, we've all fought against for, you know, all of humanity. And then not only that, but then he made us a part of this whole new creation that he has planned and is building now, you know. And that's what he did with a body that was humiliated on the cross, which really just spoke to me about God's using, you know, the weakness and the powerlessness in a way that we can't even, that we don't think about at the time very often. And this got me thinking, Anto, we were talking about it, and he brought up this idea of vulnerability. And I realized that in my own weakness, as well as other people, you know, when we're in weak points, when we feel powerless, that's also a moment where we are, by necessity, vulnerable. And vulnerability is like not a popular thing nowadays. It's not very popular to get vulnerable with other people. I remember when I was in school, it's like the people who are the least vulnerable are the ones that are the cool ones, right? Because they've just walled themselves off and no one can, you know, touch them, you know? But a relationship with God requires us to be vulnerable. And it's one of these key elements of connecting with him. If we can't be vulnerable in front of God, then you know, how do we start that relationship? And then how do we, you know, if we can't be vulnerable with God, whom we can trust, how do then do we start being vulnerable with other people and forming connections with them? And so this moment of injury for me was a real, it slowed me down, and it took me out of this world that I was surrounded with all the time, and it made me very vulnerable. And I realized that vulnerability is a blessing. It's not, you know, I'm not, you know, sitting at home just disappointed about all the things that I'm missing anymore. It's an incredible blessing that I was given this force to be vulnerable, especially considering that, you know, it's just a sprained ankle, it's not that big of a deal, you know, but it still forced me to slow down and calm down and listen and be vulnerable with God and with other people. And so my prayers have not been, in the last couple weeks, questioning God and saying, why didn't I get to go to Cambodia? Why did you hurt my foot, you know, why did that have to happen? I also lost my phone on Easter Sunday, so that was a big thing. And so, and you know, the temptation there is to be like, oh, why did I lose my phone? You know, it's so difficult to do everything in Hong Kong without that. But no, the prayer isn't a prayer of frustration or questioning God. It's a prayer of thanksgiving for forcing me into that point of vulnerability. The Song of Hannah says, you know, do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. Because, you know, maybe I wouldn't term it arrogance, but I was definitely confident of myself before this happened, you know? And I felt like I had it all together. And, you know, God's not gonna use that. He's gonna use the hunter after I've been made vulnerable. And so the last thing that I kinda wanna talk to you guys is there's this Japanese art form called kintsugi, which I probably just murdered the Japanese pronunciation of, which I apologize for. But it's where if pots or delicate pottery, like china and all that kind of stuff, breaks, you don't just like sweep it into the bin and say, all right, I'll get another bowl. You actually take that bowl and you use precious metals and lacquer and this amazing process, and you recreate it. And you use it to kind of glue the different pieces together with these beautiful metals. And actually, afterwards, you can see the cracks. You know, they're really thick and wide, and you can clearly see how it's been damaged. But instead of looking like a damaged bowl, it's more beautiful than the thing that it was before. And it's this philosophical idea that, you know, when you repair something, actually you can make it more beautiful than it ever was before. And that's my story, you know, with Kathy and with Hannah and with Peter, is that, you know, when these people are brought to their lowest, that's when God is able to use them to create so, so, so much more. And so I hope you guys will think about that. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.